Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Regardless of how you're listening, radio, internet, subspace frequency, we don't care. We're just glad you're here. I'm glad Jonathan Zook is here, too, because Jonathan is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the president of the Association for Competitive Technology, and he's our friend. Jonathan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, and I'm looking forward to a good 2005. What about you?
I am, too. I think it's going to be a great year. You know, it's shaping up to be very interesting.
Let's talk for a minute, Jonathan, about, let's do a that was the year that was kind of thing, and talk about how technology, the IT industry, fared with regard to politics and regulations in 2004. How did we do?
Well, it was varied. I mean, one of the things we really discovered is that we may have more to fear from state legislators than we do from federal legislators. That I think one of the dangers that we have ahead of us is understanding how to prevent a kind of patchwork of regulations, because more and more businesses are having to become national and international in their scope, because they're online businesses, or they at least part of their business is online. And so it's become more and more important to keep track of legislation that, you know, normally you weren't paying attention to.
I was talking to, I was in a little golf shop not far from me yesterday, talking to a small business. Is a small business golf company, just a little retail operation. And he was showing me a golf club, and I said, are the people you sold this to, are they happy? He said, I sold 400 of those this year. It's a little bitty shop.
Yeah.
And I said, really? He said, yeah, nobody's returned any of them or wanted to trade them out for anything else. And he said, I said, 400? He said, yeah, 200 of, or I forgot the number, it was a large number, approximately half were online. He sold them online.
That's right.
If you just drove by his shop, you wouldn't know that.
Well, and a lot of people had assumed that e-commerce would be the end of Main Street. And the reality is that it may be the savior of Main Street. I mean, the end of Main Street came in the form of suburban malls, right? But the e-commerce is a way to step back up to the plate and provide pre-parking, right?
Well, exactly.
That you couldn't do for your storefront.
Well, it's not. The thing is, Dan Burrus said something to me one time in a group that I was in, to a group that I was in. He said it's not either or, it's both and.
That's right. I mean, there are just multiple distribution channels, and you want to take advantage of all of them that you can. The problem he's going to face is as he starts to sell these things out of state, if, you know, we have pending legislation.
Yeah, he's already doing that.
Right. We have pending legislation on sales tax that would require him to file tax returns in as many as 7,500 tax jurisdictions around the country.
That's all we need is a balkanization of the Internet, don't we?
Exactly. And so, I mean, the states have promised a simplified sales tax, but they haven't done anything to decrease the number of sales tax jurisdictions. So, to me, that's not simplified.
Are you really concerned that might actually happen?
I'm very concerned that might happen.
It still has
momentum. I mean, we're fighting it tooth and nail, and at the very least, trying to work in a small business exemption, so that if you do under $5 million in remote sales, mm-hmm. that you'd be exempt from having to collect sales tax from your users and then remit to all these different jurisdictions. But I think it's going to happen.
And, really?
I think small businesses should be very scared of it.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear you say that, because I thought that there was is this something that's going to happen at a state level? All the states are going to get together and come up with something, or how is it going to be implemented?
Well, it's kind of a strange process because on its face it's a violation of the Constitution, right? Because you're mm-hmm. messing with interstate commerce.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way the states can impose this restriction is through federal legislation that permits it. So they have this thing where they've gotten together to create a simplified sales tax, and it's a kind of a petition right now. And with 20 states signed on to it, that's enough for federal legislation to be in place. So the next step is then federal legislation permitting the requirement to collect sales tax across state boundaries. And then once that federal legislation is placed, then states can then decide to impose that restriction.
How would you feel about
on companies that aren't even in their state?
How would you feel if the legislation became that it was one rate, say 6%, you remitted that 6% on those products that you sold on the internet to your own state in your own local, you know, the state form that you do? And, you know, when we come back here for these messages, I want to get your thoughts on that.
Sure.
That seems to make the most sense. I don't blame the states for not liking.
Not where they're heading.
For not wanting to lose the revenue, but we've got to come up with a way that doesn't put small businesses out of business online. 20TL, stay with us. We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Jonathan Zook, President of the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org is their website. Folks, which I encourage you to check out. It's an outstanding site. I encourage you to join their organization. Whether you're, you know, especially if you're anywhere involved at all in technology, but of course just the consumption of technology, just being a user of technology, makes you somebody who I think should pay more attention to politics, like this tax bill that we're talking about, Jonathan. So my idea is that if they have to have one, that it becomes a one standard rate that everybody remits to their own state, to be then divvied up among the states as they need to,
yeah.
or maybe not divvied up.
Well, I mean, what's interesting about sales tax historically is that it's become a mechanism for competition for business.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of why you have so many
tax jurisdictions. Tell us why you mean that, why you say that.
Well, because you could decide to put your business in a place where there was a lower tax rate,
mm-hmm.
for example, or you could decide to live in a state that didn't have sales tax. So what is the meaning of that? You know, in this world of a flat sales tax, right?
Another,
to eliminate that sales tax.
Another competitive aspect of this is people sometimes buy things online so that they can avoid sales tax, and that creates a little bit of a competitive disadvantage to people who have to charge sales tax.
Yeah, I don't really think that most studies don't show that people are choosing to shop online in order to avoid sales tax.
I think it's more of an issue than you might think it is. But the point is, what do you think about the idea of a flat rate?
It's really being discussed. I mean, the notion of a flat sales tax is being discussed even just outside of the world of e-commerce too.
But it's not exactly. But it's not just. The rate is the remission of
right
those.
I mean, and that is the complexity. But if most of your sales are from out of your state, then a state is going to feel, you know, that a state that has a lot of consumers is going to feel like they're losing out,
mm-hmm.
to a state that doesn't have very many consumers,
yeah.
because they would get the sales tax benefits of their consumers, right, if you got to remit to your own state.
Well, I'm going to, you know, if the state is involved in making me have to remit sales tax for the books that I sell online, I'm not going to worry about whether they they feel like they got their fair share. I'd rather that happen is for me to have to know how to do 75 different tax forms.
7,500.
So I mean 7,500, right? I'm sorry.
Right. I mean it's right. Absurd. Yeah, I mean we're definitely fighting this issue, and there's been interesting legislation, sort of anti-SSTP legislation passed in Virginia that we hope, you know, takes wing and spreads to other states. So, but at the very least, we're working on a small business exemption. So, I mean, I really recommend your listeners going to netchoice.org. Netchoice.org. Netchoice is a coalition of e-commerce businesses and consumers concerned about this issue and others that affect the viability of e-commerce.
Is that an organization that we can join and put our weight behind?
That's right. Yes, you
okay.
can.
Like ACT.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not just for technology. ACT is a technology association, but NetChoice is a coalition of everybody, users and e-commerce businesses and trade associations and everybody that's just concerned about the future of e-commerce.
Right. All right, what are some other things that are going on, Jonathan?
Well, I think the other really big issue for my industry, for the technology industry going forward, is the protection of intellectual property. It's sort of threatened here at home and then especially in other countries with, you know, piracy and, and the inability to enforce patents and things of that sort. I think, you know, the next 5 years, probably the biggest battle that the tech industry will be fighting is over intellectual property. Because we're not really a manufacturing economy anymore. I mean, our biggest export right now is intellectual, you know, currency. It's this sort of intangible inventions and ideas and things like that. And if we can't protect them, then... you know, could affect, you know, 60% of our sales.
Do you think
right now come from exports?
Do you think the innovation is being suppressed because the creators say, you know, why bother if I can't protect it?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, people invest, you know, billions in research and development every year, you know, on the assumption that they'll be able to protect those investments or at least the returns on those investments in the form of IP. And the extent to which those protections go away, you're going to see a decrease in R&D spending. And folks won't get into that business because there isn't anything to hold on to, right? It's not like when you laid down railroad tracks and that was your capital, right? I mean, now it's an intangible thing, and if you can't get that protected, then it's not the business to be in.
What do you think is the answer?
Well, I the answer ultimately is to be vigilant but smart in the protection of intellectual property. We've had a few kind of high profile in the past couple of years patents, you know, that that were silly, right? Like the Amazon got a patent for one click shopping, for example.
Somebody got a patent for the little window that says processing your order or please wait or something like that. Somebody got a patent for one of those.
Exactly. And that's caused a little bit of a backlash against the patent system itself. And I think that is very dangerous. I mean, the reality is that we need patents. We need copyright. But we need to improve the system to some extent. And so we're working on some reform to the patent system.
Well, and of course, as you say, protecting our property in the United States is one issue. But when you go across the water, it's a whole other universe.
It sure is.
And it's the Wild Wild West over there, folks, for sure. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Jonathan Zook after these messages. It's 10 till. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Jonathan Zook is all over our website, folks, in our archives, and you can find his listing in our Brain Trust. But also, don't forget to go to his two websites. I'm going to encourage you to go to both of them, actonline.org. That's for the Association for Competitive Technology. And then the other one is netchoice.org. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And folks, listen, those of you who you have computers, who doesn't, if you use any kind of technology, if you're anywhere connected to the internet, if you ever one day hope to create any kind of content for your website that you'd like to think might be worth something to you one day, or if you know somebody who does, you need to find out what these two organizations are doing and support them, because what they're doing is they're on the front lines out there fighting to make sure that small businesses aren't harmed with any kind of legislation or regulation that happens. And Jonathan, on behalf of what you and your organizations do for us, we thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. It's an interesting thing. I was a software developer for many years and got into public policy almost as a lark. I thought I'd be doing it for a year or two, but then when I realized it was going to get me this recurring role on the Small Business Advocate, I knew I had to stick it out.
That's the dream come true, isn't
it? Now, yeah. It's now 6 years later.
Hey, Jonathan, what's going to be the real hot topic in 2005? Is it not going to be security?
Well, I think people are a little bit burned out on security. That was a pretty hot topic in 2004, but it's still going to be a serious topic of conversation. I mean, one of the issues as we go into the international arena, in addition to intellectual property, is going to be how the Internet itself is governed. Because, you know, that's gone through some interesting transformations. It began sort of being managed by the Department of Commerce. Mm-hmm. The Department of Commerce handed it over to an organization called ICANN.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a lot of pressure for the UN, of all places, to take it over.
Oh, no.
And
We can't let that happen.
That's right.
My gosh.
That would be a bit of a mess.
And, holy mackerel.
One of the things that's coming up in the next 3 months is a decision by ICANN as to who will manage the registrar for .NET.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny that you come across websites every once in a while that are .NET,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part it's an email backbone. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of .NET email addresses, and then a lot of .com emails actually run on .NET. So
right.
behind the scenes, it's responsible for something like 60 or 70% of all the email traffic.
I didn't know that.
Flows over .NET. And there's a discussion about taking it away from VeriSign that has,
right.
the multiple, secured servers throughout the U.S. and giving it to a co-op of companies in Germany.
Oh, no.
And, and what the effect that would be. And if you look at how well .NET and .com have been as far as, like, uptime compared to the ones that have been given to these other companies, like .org, it's quite a bit different. You know, it's like 1% downtime versus 25%.
I think most of us don't understand that there are different people running the .NETs, .coms, and .orgs. Explain that to us.
I mean, it's a registrar is like a phone book for the Internet. So when mm-hmm. you type in an address, like smallbusinessadvocate.com, that actually has to be translated, looked up, and then translated into a number
right.
to actually find your website or
mm-hmm.
your email server.
Right.
So then a registrar is the one that holds all the servers that does these lookups.
Hmm.
So when you type in a .org address, it goes to one set of servers. When you put in a .com address, it goes to another set of servers.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so it's a pretty important function of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, VeriSign has, because they bought Network Solutions and then spun them out again.
Mm-hmm.
But VeriSign holds .com and .net, the two biggies, basically.
Right.
But .net is up for renewal. And because this organization, ICANN, is under continued pressure to be more international and less American-focused, there's a real possibility that .net will get awarded.
Well, You just gave me another reason to not sleep at night, was to think about the UN being involved in the Internet.
Yeah,
That just gives me a cold chill just to think about that.
Well, I'm glad I could start your day off. Right?
Wow, you've ruined my. I don't know.
So we'll have sales. And
folks, I'm not.
This is out of business, and I'm not running the Internet.
I'm not being dramatic, folks. I'm serious about that. Hey, Jonathan, thank you for being here. It's always
my pleasure.
Happy New Year. Thanks for the good information. We'll see you next time. Jonathan Zook, ladies and gentlemen, with the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org and netchoice.org. Check both of those out, please. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.